This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Tony Cox in Washington. Here are headlines from some of the stories we are following today at NPR News. As BP prepares to decide the fate of CEO Tony Hayward, one possible successor is in London with other company board members. American Bob Dudley replaced Hayward as the company's point man on the Gulf oil spill last month. Reports surfaced over the weekend suggesting that Hayward would step down after a series of missteps. And parts of Iowa are cleaning up today after weekend floods caused millions of dollars in damage. Dozens of homes and businesses were flooded after a dam in the eastern part of the state failed. Areas below the dam were evacuated. Local officials have called the flooding unprecedented. Details on these stories and more are coming up on All Things Considered from NPR News. Journalism has lost a giant. Daniel Schorr, known as one of Murrow's boys and Nixon's enemies, died last Friday at the age of 93. Among his six decades of accomplishments in journalism is one very important to this program. Back in 1991, NPR started its first call-in program, special coverage of the first Gulf War, with Dan Schorr as host.
From National Public Radio in Washington, this is part of NPR's expanded coverage of the Gulf War, a call-in program to answer your questions. I'm Daniel Schorr.
And, of course, he had a familiar in-studio buddy.
All right, also here with me is Neil Conan, who stands by and helps a great deal doing these programs. We'll take your calls soon. The number to call is 1-800-422.
Here to remember our friend and colleague Daniel Schorr and the role he had in inspiring Talk of the Nation is our regular host, Neil Conan, who's on vacation right now while I am sitting in his chair. He joins us from his home in Maryland. Neil, I feel bad. You left work last week, and here you are back working again on Monday.
Well, Tony, it's I had to make time for this. Dan was very special, not just to everybody listening who knew him so well, but personally important to me. There were a couple of years that I think we spent more time together with each other than either of us did with our wives, and one of them was 1990-91, during the run-up to the Gulf War.
You know, let me say to our listeners, Neil, of course we want to hear from you as well. The number 800-989-8255. I guess that's changed a little bit since 1991. Call us and tell us your memories of Daniel Schorr. Our email address is talk@npr.org, and you can join the conversation at our website. Go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. So what do you remember, Neil, most about your time spent working with Daniel Schorr?
Oh, he was so special. He was somebody who had encyclopedic knowledge and a vast store of experience, but also tremendous humanity. He saw things and stories that I consistently missed. You could sit there and listen to a speech with Dan Schorr and ask him a question about it, and he would say, "Well, that's an interesting question, but the thing I heard was," and he would come up with something that you just simply hadn't thought of, or he would come up with something he hadn't heard that was just amazing. I also remember we spent so much time doing special events together, not just the program that eventually became Talk of the Nation started when we were doing the Pentagon briefings after Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait in August 1st, 1990. Then there became the long, slow run-up to the Gulf War, and the Pentagon briefings became of more and more interest. But obviously, after a little while, we began to realize just hearing that one voice from the Defense Department, I would anchor with Dan, or Dan, as you heard, later would anchor, and I would chip in. And then we started to do the State Department briefings, but we didn't want just the administration voice, so we started bringing in other guests, and then the timings got a little more difficult, so we started taking phone calls, and that was really the genesis of the program that became Talk of the Nation about a year later.
You know, we've been talking a little bit today, a lot, as a matter of fact, Neil, about journalism and about leaks and the impact of those. And there's a story that I want to share with you and the audience and get you to tell us a little bit more about it involving Daniel Schorr. Back in 2007, you talked with Dan on the air about sources in the context of one particular leak. Now, back in 1948, that's more than a half century ago, Dan had been covering the on again, off again negotiations between the Dutch and the Indonesian republics, and he came into possession of a very confidential report, which eventually suspended those negotiations. And here's what he had to say about that leak and its source.
I have had people, historians, since that time, and mind you, I'm talking about 1948.
Mm-hmm. Wild
enough. And what I can tell you is everybody connected with this, they're all dead. And yet, when I was meeting somebody who was a historian about Indonesia, and he said to me, I'd die to know where you got a copy of that proposal which torpedoed those negotiations. Could you tell me? I said, well, how many years have passed? 50? Give me another few. It is something quite impossible for me to do, not in a very concentrated way, but it is just viscerally, I can't name sources.
That's quite a story, isn't it?
That's quite a story, and it tells you so much about Dan. A relationship with a source, and you know this, Tony, as well as anybody, but a relationship with a source, well, that's a promise. You've made a promise to that person. And Dan would never break a promise, even in the interests of history, which mattered a great deal to him. He would not break a promise. It was so interesting. Yesterday, after Dan's funeral, the cortege went up Connecticut Avenue, and shortly, about an hour after that, there was a tremendous thunderstorm in Washington, D.C. They were all up and down the East Coast, but I figured that was just what happened after God asked Dan to name the source on the Pike Report story.
That's a good story. Here's an email that we got from Alita in Chicago. Just a note regarding Daniel Shore. I met Mr. Shore when I interviewed with his wife for a job. The interview was at their kitchen table, and at the beginning, Mr. Shore was not at home. He later arrived and joined at the table. Although I didn't get the job, I remember how gracious both he and his wife were to me and how very impressed I was that I had met him. Selena writes in from Santa Cruz, California. Daniel was the reason I got out of bed early on weekend mornings. He sought out the truth and presented it so the layman could understand. I will miss you infinitely, Mr. Shore. And one other one from Katrina in Alamo, California. I always listened attentively to Daniel Shore's commentary, but after my father's death in 2008, I came to appreciate Mr. Shore even more. He was of my father's generation, and they shared the same astute judgment and clear thinking. When Daniel Shore spoke on any topic, I appreciated hearing his views, and I felt a bit more connected with my dad as a result. In my mind, he is an irreplaceable. He is as irreplaceable as my own father. Let's take a phone call, actually, Neil. It's so weird me talking to you. Usually you're sitting here doing this, but I'm doing it for you. But I'm holding down the fort as best I can. Kay,
it sounds like you're doing really well, Tony.
Thank you very much,
Neil. I hope you're looking forward to the next couple of weeks. You get to work with a great staff, and you get to work with some of the best listeners in the country who will come up with questions that you will not have thought of, and it's quite an experience.
You're absolutely correct. And to that point, as a matter of fact, let's go to Kay in Silver Spring. Welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hi, thank you. I absolutely adored that man, and I loved and built my time around that special few minutes with Dan Shore and Scott Simon. And I particularly remember his choice of words when Scott went off to NBC for, I think it was about a year, and it didn't work out, and we were lucky to have Scott back. The last words he said to Scott on their last broadcast years back was, he said, "It's been a wonderful time. Your humanity has shown through." I thought that so well summarized Scott Simon and their time together, and I add those words for Mr. Shore, whose funeral I was privileged to go to yesterday, having met him a couple of times and certainly didn't know him well, but absolutely adored the man and his integrity and his use of language.
Kay, thank you very much for that very nice call. We appreciate it. You know, Neil, I was thinking about this. You and I have been in this business a long time, and, you know, people – The public hears us or sees us and gets one perception of us based on what they hear and see. But those of us who work inside newsrooms, we get oftentimes to see people from a very different perspective. Tell us something about Daniel Schorr that the public probably wouldn't know but would appreciate hearing.
Well, Dan was a wonderful family man. We've heard mention of his wife, Lee. He's a terrific woman. He's got a son and a daughter and a beautiful granddaughter. But the strange thing about radio, when you spend enough time on the radio, as Dan did, he always liked to do live events with me because Dan, as people were probably knew, Dan loved airtime. Dan liked to talk on the radio. I think we were hearing yesterday at the funeral, and it was interesting how much it was his life's blood. But he loved live events because there was no clock. And when you're on the radio like that so often, people, it's a wonderful medium because people do get to know your personality. You really can't fake it. Dan used to love to tell a story about TV about he was told that, sincerity is the most important thing in television. As soon as you can fake that, you've got it made. Dan never faked anything on the radio. So I do think that people did know something about him. It was very important. Obviously, his personal, his family side, they did not know that. But they knew that he loved his work. He loved it so much. Another story we heard at the funeral yesterday, somebody asked Dan once what he would do when and if he ever retired. And he looked at them and said, look for work.
Those are great stories. As a matter of fact, Neil, we have another clip of Dan from the days when you and Dan were working together here at NPR in the early days, as Talk of the Nation was still in its infancy. He really did seem to like taking those phone calls, didn't he? Here's why I say that.
Well, after a while, that became very normal. And when it stopped, he said, what do I do now this afternoon? I have an afternoon free. But it was really marvelous. I remember getting, it started with my getting a call at 6 o'clock one morning saying that we've invaded Panama. I said, great. So what do you want from me? He said, well, nobody understands why Bush would want to invade Panama. And we thought maybe if you would come in, we'll get you and somebody else, and we'll invite people to call and ask about it. I said, oh, okay. And so there we were in what indeed were the seeds of Talk of the Nation.
Indeed, Neil, the seeds of Talk of the Nation.
Yes. That voice, I spent so much time with it. There was another moment we were, as some listeners will remember, I took a sabbatical from NPR and went and did minor league baseball for a while, and came back in the fall of 2000, and it was the presidential election, and I got back in time to do the last two presidential debates, and then, as people will remember, that election went into extra innings, and Dan and I did the broadcasts of the Florida Supreme Court, which were fascinating, but lengthy deliberations of the Florida Supreme Court. And I learned at that time that just because Dan's eyes were closed and he was breathing evenly and maybe the slightest of snores happened to be escaping him did not mean that he was asleep and could not answer a question.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. You know, I was thinking, in fact, let me just let people know that if you'd like to join the conversation, this is Tony Cox sitting in for Neil Conan with Neil Conan. Yeah, that's correct. He's on vacation, but we're talking about Daniel Schorr, who left us last week. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call. Talk of the Nation, our phone number is 800-989-8255, or you can email us at talk@npr.org. One other thing that crossed my mind, Neil Conan, I wanted to ask you about was this. Daniel Schorr was 93 years old when he left us. I'm assuming that a number of those years must have been spent mentoring young journalists who came behind him.
Well, the building is full of people. NPR and indeed journalism is filled with people who were Dan's assistants. He loved to bring in young people and would have endless amounts of time for them. There were people that were very important to Dan in the business. Editors were not among them, but having served as Dan's editor, I can tell you that. But he had just infinite amounts of time and infinite patience with young people who he was delighted to answer questions from. And and explain to them how things had been and look ahead to how things would change. He was not a master of technology, but he was a master of the craft of writing stories. Dan understood that journalism, yes, it was a lot about information and what information you had, but he also understood that it's a very specialized form of storytelling. Stories have beginnings and middles and ends, and Dan always knew how to spin a story.
I've got two emails I want to read to you I think you'll find interesting, and then we're going to take a call. Daniel Shore, this one comes from Connie in Sarasota, Florida. Daniel Shore got an honorary degree from Brandeis University over 20 years ago. I was there because my daughter was receiving her PhD. He said he hoped all those students sitting before him had the opportunity sometime in their lifetime to be fired from their job for standing up for what they believe. Now, that that says a lot about the man, doesn't it?
It does. It does, but, you know, again, I go back to some of the speeches we heard yesterday. It sounds easy from a distance, and, you know, you're such in such admiration of a man who did that sort of thing. It's not easy to do. It does take courage to quit your job on principle and then wonder how you're going to feed your family. Yeah. It's not an easy thing to do. Courage is doing things when things are difficult, and Dan knew what to do. Dan knew when to do the right thing.
Absolutely. Here's one last email we're going to share with you. It comes from Marilyn in Sacramento, and Marilyn writes, I just want to say that I joined Twitter at the age of 69 because of Daniel Shore. No kidding. I had intended to write to Dan about my longtime admiration for his intellect and contributions to our nation. Every week, I look forward to listening to his wise commentary on NPR. I regret so much that I did not contact him on Twitter. He was an amazing man, and I will be forever indebted to him for his honest and intelligent reporting. Thank you, NPR, and Daniel Shore. I suppose, Neil, as I say goodbye to you so that you can finally get your vacation off and running, that's a good one to end on, isn't it?
That's a good one to end on. Back in the old building at NPR, there was a tremendous flood once back on the first floor where our offices were, and everybody knew that the story we had to tell when Dan came in that day, the leak came from Dan Shore's office.
Well, you hear that music, and I know you know as the regular host of this show that that means it is time for us to say goodbye. Neil Conan is the host of Talk of the Nation on vacation, finally joining us from his home in Maryland. Thank you very much, Neil.
Tony, have a great time.
Thank you. Tomorrow, troops fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan face any number of problems, but they are not the only ones under incredible stress. We'll talk about military families here on the home front. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Tony Cox.